You're listening to the Straight to Video Podcast with Rob Lane.
Hey, what's up? Welcome along to my podcast, Straight to Video. As always, I'm your host, Rob Lane, and on today's show, I had lots of fun chatting with hot sauce entrepreneur, podcaster, musician, scare park addict, and all-round horror nut, Dean Sharp of Dean of the Dead. Now, I was first introduced to Dean and his killer hot sauces while having a stall at Liverpool Comic Con a while back. I was immediately drawn into his amazing-looking stand showcasing his brilliant range of horror movie-themed hot sauces and merch. He was super friendly too, which was a bonus, and I loved his whole vibe. Since then, I've been following his journey online and seeing his company grow and getting busier and busier, along with his profile in the horror community continuing to build. So I thought now was the perfect time to check in with him before things go through the roof in 2023. Dean is one of those characters with a real entrepreneurial drive to him, constantly creative and trying out new things. Along with his hot sauce brand, he also co-hosts the Baron's Hideout podcast, and he has a great YouTube channel, Dean of the Dead TV, where you can watch all his adventures in scare parks, both here and in the USA, which I urge you to check out and subscribe to. We talk about all of this in our chat, along with some old school horror, so I think you're going to enjoy being introduced to this guy. This Straight to Video podcast is proudly presented to you in association with Affinity Photo, an incredible piece of photo editing software, which I've been using for graphic design the past couple of years. It's used to create the podcast's episode artwork you see each week, and it's an extremely affordable alternative to other programs on the market, so please check them out at affinity.serif.com. Alright, Dean of the Dead has kindly saved up an online discount for listeners to this show with 10% off any order through the website deanofthedead.com, which is your one-stop chop shop for some of the world's most frightfully fearsome hot sauces. So simply add the code S2V10, that's S2V10 on checkout, and the money off will be yours. Right now though, let's get to know the man himself as we dive into my straight-to-video chat with Dean of the Dead. There he is.
Hey man, how's it going?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Good, not too bad.
It looks awesome there, mate. Is that the man cave?
No, this is the front room. The man cave's upstairs.
Get out of it. You've got a front room like that.
Yeah, yeah. I convinced the missus. Yeah.
Respect for that one, mate. Nice one.
Took a bit of convincing. Mind you, when she met me, she'd come around my old flat that I had before. We live in a cottage in the middle of the countryside now on a farm, but I was renting a flat off a mate, and it was the same as this. I had like black ceilings and black walls and horror paraphernalia everywhere. So when we decided to move in with each other, I was like, you do realise that I'm going to have to do the place up so it looks like this. And she's like, I've got it.
I love it.
You've got to live horror, man. You've got to live it.
Totally, dude. So how's this year started so far? Are you kicking back into gear yet?
I'm starting to. I've realised that to stay organised, you have to make plans for the following year in like August, because all of a sudden it gets to January, and you know, especially with events, because the more popular ones that I'm getting onto now, they sell out really quickly.
I want to dive a little into your background of what put you on the path you're on, and particularly your love and introduction to horror, which you've combined with your amazing hot sauce brand, which has taken off incredibly well over the past few years. Whilst horror has always been a passion for you, obviously, I think the hot sauce journey is relatively new, with Dean of the Dead starting, was it around 2017? And I believe it was only just before then that you began experimenting and creating your own sauces.
So I put on all my branding. I always put terrifying taste buds since 2017. But in 2017, I was actually just hoping I didn't poison anybody, because I was only really just sort of started getting like recipes together, and I was trying different stuff, you know, to see what worked. And I was trying to do something different. So we do like all the kind of fruit pairings with the chilies and stuff like that. So I was trying to do something different. I've always been a fan of horror since I was a kid. Like, my stepdad used to run a video store.
I want to talk about that. I just mentioned that before. I was like, oh shit, we've got to dive into that at some point.
Yeah. So we can jump into that in a bit. So that's where the horror started. The hot sauce thing. My dad introduced me to hot food when I was very, very young. We used to go out. So it was always... growing up with my dad, I only really knew him in a pub or in a curry house. That's it. So we'd go to the pub when I go and see him when I was younger. Then we'd go for a curry. And I always used to sit there watching him eat. He used to like chicken fowl, the hottest thing you can find on the menu. And I was like, why are you sweating eating your food? And he'd be like, well, try some of that.
Did you have one curry house you went to? Do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, we did, yeah. Oh, it's called The Raj. I think it's burned down now. Yeah, we used to go there when we were kids. There's one called The Palashi at Enfield. I'm from Enfield in North London. So anyone listening that's from Enfield and old school will remember The Palashi and The Raj. I was hooked from a young age. I was just growing up. I've always been into really, really hot foods. And then I started, a friend of mine way, way back suggested going to a chili festival. I loved all the different artisan hot sauces, the branding, the creativity behind it, the hot sauces themselves. I just really loved all the art behind it, you know, the creativity and what people were kind of putting into their branding. So there's a brand called Grim Reaper, which I thought was really cool. There's a brand called Hot Pods, which got some really kind of cool artwork, you know. And I just thought I want to do something like this. I wanted to do something to get into Comic Cons. I love Comic Cons and Horror Cons. So I wanted to do something to get into those as a trader, but I wanted to do something different as well. So I was just like, I don't know, I come up with the idea. I think my first ever idea was to do a Jeepers Creepers base sauce, Jeepers Reapers, I think it was called. And then I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is quite a good idea. So then I started thinking of all these different horror puns, mixing them with chilies, and kind of went from there. It's batshit mental. I think like so many people were going, that's a really cool idea. Like, I really like what you're doing there. If I had like everyone going, oh, you know, why are you doing that? You know, that's a bit silly. But everybody was just like, that's a really cool idea, man. So I think I just kind of kept on it. I'm from a musical background as well. Like, music's always been my thing. I was signed to Polygram when I was like 17. I was in a band way, way down the line with, there's an actor called Ray Winstone. I was in a band with his daughter. We were in a band together for about 8 years. So we signed with a label in New York, and then we produced a record with Youth from Killing Joke. Went out to Spain, recorded this record. The band split up. The record got shelved. We like played with the Libertines at Hyde Park, all this kind of stuff, you know. So the band was about to take off.
Was it that classic story where you push, 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 it's just about to go?
Yeah, literally. Right, touching a void of success, doing something really, really cool. And I won't say which member of the band it was that screwed it all up. It wasn't me. So one member of the band royally fucked it up. And kind of Dean of the Dead really came off the back of that, because rather than just, you know, being massively depressed, going, God damn it, I've been trying for years and years and years with my music, almost getting there, but not quite getting there. So I jumped into this whole Dean of the Dead project. And it's been my life ever since, man. It really saved me in a way. Do you know what I mean? It's just some my way of being creative. And I know it's so different from music, but it's not at the same time, because it's the art side of it, the creating the labels, just everything, you know. That's why I've just sort of channeled everything into that, I think. So I didn't think too much about failing in the other endeavor.
Came up with Jeepers Reapers, and then you had Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Exorcist.
Yeah, man.
Have you had a bit of a rebrand through what I can see, creating a new line, such as Scareway to Heaven and Sugar Daddy, is it, and stuff like that. So are those original lines still available, or was that like a licensing copyright thing? I don't know if you want to go down that route.
Well, I was sitting there watching the telly one day, watching a film on Netflix, and an email pinged through, and I kind of, you know, as you kind of half look at them, you know, majority of them are spam. And I kind of looked at this one, I was like, oh shit, that's not spam. And I opened it up, and it was a cease and desist from Warner Brothers.
I've made it!
Right? So I was like, oh man, you know, in a way, I kind of wore it like a badge of honor, because I was like, I'm on Warner Brothers' radar, which is pretty cool. But at the same time, I was like, damn, you know, I'm going to have to change this. There's no way I can battle these guys. It's like, they're fucking Warner Brothers, man.
Can you say which one it was that caught their attention?
Yeah. We had one called A Naga Met on Elm Street, which was it was a peach mango pineapple flavor with the Naga chili. So we call it the Naga Met on Elm Street. And then we had one called The Exorcist, which we won a great taste award for, man. So I was really proud of that one. Basically, they were the two that they picked up on.
Wow. The Exorcist one, I'm surprised at that.
Well, because that's in the dictionary, right? I was arguing it with them for quite some time. We were kind of going back and forth, and I was like, yeah, but it's parody. You know, it's a play on words. It's parody. But they were obviously coming back with just this, you know, lawyer jargon, whatever, half of which I didn't understand. And yeah, basically, in the end, they were just like, you know, change it, otherwise we're going to take you to court. But not only that, they were going through all my Instagram, and they sent me a whole list of pictures to take down. And a lot of them were of cosplayers. So like cosplayers that go to events. So if I'm at an event, let's say a Comic-Con or a Horror-Con, and someone comes along dressed as Jason Voorhees, and I'm like, man, you know, just get a photo of you in front of the stand holding a bottle of sauce or something. Now it just goes down. It was just a cool looking picture to put on the Instagram and the socials. And they were like, we own the rights to Jason Voorhees, take that down. I was like, it's a fucking cosplayer.
Wow.
But they were going for me, man. There was like 50 odd pictures. There was one of a girl, we went to MCM Comic-Con, and she was dressed in the best It costume I've ever seen. We had this really cool photo of her like trying one of the sauces dressed as It. Funny enough, she was trying the Naga Melt on Elm Street, which was one of their IPs, dressed as It, which was one of their IPs. And they were just like, basically take that down. So I didn't take them down. I basically just thought, no, screw you, man. You know, that's ridiculous. It's their cosplayers. They own those costumes. So Warner Brothers went straight to Instagram and reported me and had Instagram take all the photos down. And then Instagram were like, yeah, we're going to basically disable your account if you keep doing stuff like that. And I was like, man, come on. You know, I'm only a small business. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
So that's why the rebrand had to take place. I thought if I'm going to change two, I might as well change them all.
It looks like that's fueled your creativity even more, though.
Well, yeah, man, because so I've started working with a guy called Jason Miller, a comic book artist, and he does all my beers as well. I don't know if you've seen the labels for the beers, the Ales from the Crypt, which I'm still waiting for EZ Comics to come at me for as well. I'm sure I'll be hearing from them soon. I've already said to Jason, we might have to change these at some point. So basically, I started working with Jason on the beers, and then I kind of had the idea with the rebranding to kind of keep the horror puns, because that was what always piqued people's attention if they were at an event and they walk past the store and they go, oh, you know, The Exorcist or The Texas, you know, they'd laugh at the puns, and that was what kind of drew them in. So I thought, keep the puns, because, you know, it's a bit of humour. So he'd drawn up this little Dean of the Dead zombie character for me. It was like a sort of comic book, almost a bit like the Gorillaz, you know, the band Gorillaz, that kind of style. So then I had the idea for the branding, for him to draw up a whole kind of bunch of monsters. And I've named them all. So you've got like a punk werewolf that looks like Vivian from The Young Ones. We've called him John Revolta. He's got like this, you know, nose ring, and it's kind of, we've got a Frankenstein that looks like Lemmy with the big handlebar moustache. We've called Damage Case. We've got one that looks like Dave Vanian from The Damned. We called him Vane Goth. He's a vampire. And I called him the Squad Ghouls. So that's kind of where the branding was going. Almost like a horror punk Gorillaz, I guess. And yeah, man, there's so much you can do with that.
I think it's great. It's almost like a blessing.
It really is a blessing.
It's just opened up even more routes for creativity.
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly how I looked at it. And I was a bit bummed out at first. But do you know what? Even if Warner Brothers turned around now and said, actually, do you know what? You can carry on using those names. I'd probably say, nah, actually, I'm all right. I'm quite enjoying where I'm going with this. So yeah, it's pretty good. But I'm starting to get a lot of kind of collabs coming through now for bigger movies. So I'm happy just kind of doing the collabs and stuff, kind of keeping my brand. Just my own IP. That's great, you know, and it's, you can do what you want with it and you've got no one telling you, take that picture down.
Exactly. And you had a tie-in, well, you mentioned you as a musician and you still are a musician. You're still playing bands and stuff like that, but you had a tie-in with the Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah, man, yeah.
That must have been a buzz for that to happen. Did you approach them or did they hear about you? Or?
So that was a big one for me because I'm a massive, massive fan. I'm a big fan of Eagles of Death Metal, huge fan of Queens of the Stone Age. So a friend of mine, a guy called Rex Roulette, he's a cat about town on the scene. He played in tons of bands and he actually wound up being their techie. I think he kind of co-tour managed their European tour, which was, I lose track of time, back end of last year maybe. But basically it was him that got me the in. He knew Jesse, the singer from the Eagles of Death Metal, quite well. And he sort of gave him the heads up and said, hey, I got a friend, he's got this really cool hot sauce business. You know, how do you fancy it? Sounds a bit random, but a hot sauce for the band. Jesse's a lovely guy, man. He's a really, really, really nice guy. And he was like, yeah, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it. I think he loves anything creative like that, you know. So we just put it together, sent him some stuff out, and he went crazy for it. He's like, yeah, this is great. He was doing me like loads of Insta live stuff with the Source and all that kind of stuff. They basically took the Source on tour with them in the UK. And that was a buzz because I went to a lot of the dates, went to Brighton, watched them play, dropped all the stock off. And then we kind of followed them around for a few dates. And then they wound up at the Roundhouse in London. And that's such a great venue, man. And, you know, just watching a band that I love play and seeing something that I've created on their merch stand at the Roundhouse was a moment. I was like, this is great.
Did they sell out?
They did, yeah. But I think there was like a few bottles left that they pulled and gave to the band and the crew. But other than that was, yeah, they sold out, man.
I mean, that's great for you. I mean, you can almost have like two different avenues. You've got the horror stuff and you can have like a music one as well.
So on the back of the Eagles, they had their merchandise company and I had to basically contact them to get my share of the payment after all the stuff sold out. It kind of piqued their interest because they were like, you know, this is something unique for bands. And I got chatting to a girl there and she was like, in fact, I might have some artists that you could do this for. One of them was Stiff Little Fingers. So she gave us some tickets again at the Roundhouse. We went to see them. I sent them through some samples, but unfortunately I never heard anything back. I think it's one of those things that you have to kind of keep chasing it and keep pushing it. But sometimes, you know, if they don't immediately say, oh yeah, you know, go for it. I don't want to kind of keep hounding them, you know, that would have been a great one.
I love meeting and discovering people like yourself. You've got like this real entrepreneurial spirit doing different things, whether it be the music, now going into the hot sauce and all the horror stuff, but everything seems to have like this equal amount of drive with entrepreneurs. Where does that come from for you? Have you always had that since you were young?
No.
No?
I don't think. I don't know really. I guess I'm just trying to think back. So I left school when I was 17. We walked into a publishing deal with Polygram. Dropped me over 20. I wanted to carry on the musical dream. So we kind of bounced around managers and just random whatever. And then we kind of fell into the covers scene. So we were playing at the Roadhouse in Covent Garden was our sort of main gig. And then in between that, I was just working in retail, man. I don't think there's one retail place that I haven't worked in, like HMV, Topshop in Oxford Circus, Hamleys I've worked in, Harrods I've worked in, Blockbuster Video I used to work in, Next I've worked in. Fucking, when I think back, I couldn't stay in one job for that long because I just get so bored. And then I was like painting and decorating for years. I just do it loads of random stuff, man. I could never quite, like, all I wanted to do was music. So everything else, just, you know, I was just trying to make a few quid and I still build myself as a musician. I'm a musician. Someone said, what do you do for a living? I wouldn't be like, yeah, I work at Topshop. I'd be like, I'm a musician. The Hamleys one was funny because I was a toy demonstrator. So I used to just have to throw aeroplanes at people.
Oh, you were that guy, was you, like throwing them around?
I was that guy. Yeah, man. Yeah. I used to have to do it with a remote control car that when it like bashes into the wall, it flips around and then drives all over the place. And I was doing that. I kind of looked up and I drove it into Liam Gallagher's leg. I didn't realize it was him until I looked up. I was like, oh shit. Sorry, dude. But yeah, man, I don't know. So the entrepreneurial drive, I really honestly couldn't tell you. I think I was just like, I kind of got to the point, you know, when I started the band with Lois, Ray's daughter, the band was called Lois and the Love. That was it for me. That was like my big break. But everything was always in the hands of other people. And I was always thinking, don't do it that way. You know, just kind of, I don't know. I feel like if I'm working on my own, I could achieve something because I've got all these ideas and no one ever fucking listens to me. So I was just like, if I'm working on my own and this is my project, no one can tell me no, then I reckon I can propel forward. And that is literally what I've done. I don't know. I think I've just kind of, from chatting to people, you know, events, starting off events, just learning, you know, the path, just throwing yourself into it and getting to know people and contacts and literally just a learning process, man. And it's gone from strength to strength to strength, you know, not being an arsehole, as it always helps, making friends, you know, meeting different artists and people and just being cool. And I think, yeah, it's just, it all seems to be working. So I don't know.
It sounds like it was like a total full on light bulb creativity moment then, once the band dissolved and then you went into the hot sauce thing. It's like, holy shit, I can just like drop everything creative into this and it just all systems go.
You know, someone tells you what it's something you're doing is cool. That's it. That's all you want to hear. Do you know what I mean? That's really cool. You think, oh yeah, I'm cool. And I just remember being in a pub one day, which is where I spent like 99.9% of my time. And some random person that I knew, a friend of a friend, was like, oh, I see you doing this hot sauce thing. Like, that's really cool. And they kept talking about it. And they were just like, that's so cool. And I was just, I come away thinking, yeah, do you know what? That is cool. And I think just from there, I was just steamed into it and just thought, throw everything to the wall, we'll see what happens. And I love it because I still get to travel around a lot. Like, we do events all over the country. Like, we're always out. A lot of the better events are up north, you know, Manchester, Liverpool, do the Horicon, Sheffield Horicon. That's the first event I ever did. And that's what I was hooked after that. As soon as I did that, I was like, wow, this is a good life. You know, I enjoy this.
Going back to being a kid and your early introductions to horror, what are some of your earliest memories? Like, you mentioned your stepdad ran a video shop. So was that like an early treasure trove for you?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I think I've got to thank for my love of horror is an artist called Graham Humphreys.
Legend.
Yeah, man, because it was all the artwork that he did. I mean, man, you know, anyone that knows of Graham's artwork will know all those classic covers. The Evil Dead is probably one of my favorite. Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street 2, actually, I've got a great picture. It's stuck to the wall, so I can't get it here, but one of the Freddy in the desert with the bus.
This one here?
Yes, that's the exact one. Funny enough, it's the exact one in that exact frame. Oh, yeah, you've got quite a few. Yeah, that's awesome, man. You know, not just the Graham Humphrey stuff, but I think mainly that they're the ones that really stuck out in my mind, especially the Evil Dead.
They always look so punk rock. They look like horror films.
Yeah, man, definitely. And I was just, as a kid, you know, you'd never seen anything like that before, especially if it had been in the 80s, early 90s, 80s. I was born in 79, so it would have been in the 80s. And you're just like, what is that, man? What is that? And it's like a video case, you know, and you look at it and you turn it over and you see all these images on the back and you're like, holy shit, what is that? You know, what goes on inside this box? What goes on this film?
I love that. What goes on inside this box? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, what happens? You know, and just you look at stuff. And as a kid, you know, and now, I mean, we're older and we've seen so many horror films. And I don't want to say I'm desensitized because I'm not desensitized. I mean, I'm not, maybe not as scared as I used to be, but, you know, I love 80s horror. I love horror. I just love horror. You know, it is my life. Now, horror is my happy place. But as a kid, when you've never seen anything like that before, and you're literally just like, whoa, always gravitated towards the horror section and then the porn section, but mainly the horror section. And mainly Graham Humphrey's artwork was just the thing that really stuck out in my mind. And then I was just always interested as to what the films were all about. My mum and my stepdad never let me watch anything like that. But my grandparents didn't have a clue. And I feel a lot of horror fans that I speak to are like, yeah, it's always the grandparents that let you watch whatever you want to watch when you're a kid. So I used to go and obviously go and visit them. I used to love going to see them. I love my granddad, man. And then he would go down the video shop and he'd go, right, you know, you got your pick of five videos. I always remember that. And I'd go straight to the horror section. They wouldn't even bat an eyelid, man. I'd be picking out, you know, Dream Warriors and Basket Case and all this other crazy shit. And that was it. I was hooked. And then getting into the events years and years later, sort of getting to meet all the people that you kind of grew up watching is just incredible. So now I get to work at these events and you look across the way and, you know, there's like Freddy Krueger over there.
Do you remember the first person you met at a convention who was like a really big deal to you?
Yeah, I do. It was Mark Patton from Nightmare 2.
How much of a lovely dude is he?
Yeah, he was lovely. It was lovely.
He's fantastic.
So that was the first actual proper convention I'd gone to as a fan to get stuff signed. And it was at a Birmingham Horror Con.
I was probably at that one, mate. I met him probably around that time in Birmingham.
Maybe, yeah. So you had Tuesday Night was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pam from Texas Chainsaw Massacre was there. Graham Humphreys was there. I think he was, as you walked into the trader hall, he was the first guy on the left, which is where I picked up that print and then took it up for Mark to sign. We've become good friends with Graham now. So we see him about a lot, like Weekend of the Dead. He's always there. We always have a drink with him there. He always comes over and says hello if we're trading at the same event. And he's lovely, man. He's such a lovely guy. But yeah, that was the first time I'd ever met him. And I walked in and I was just like, oh, dude, you know, I was shaking. I was like, oh, man, you know, I owe my love of horror to you. And he must hear that all the time.
He's so casual about it. A lot of times to Graham, he loves his films and his horror history. But when you speak to him, like, oh, that cover changed my life. But a lot of times Graham's like, well, it was just another job. It was just another gig. He's so chilled about it.
Definitely. Yeah, I got that from him straight away. He was just, oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I'm like, no, but no, seriously, man. But yeah, lovely guy. And yeah, that's, I guess that is my first introduction into horror, like how I got into it and what fascinated me, you know, as a kid.
I'll put you on the spot. Off the top of your head, what would be the most random hot sauce tie into perhaps a film you love, but not many other people know about?
Something like The Video Dead or something would be cool. I love all that kind of really real 80s horror. I love that sort of stuff. The house movies I love. Oh man, I don't know. This is where I'm going to go away afterwards and go, oh dang, that one, I should have said that. I should have said that. It's a film called The House of Flesh Mannequins by Demisiano Cristofalo. He's an Italian director. He does a lot of extreme stuff. On my 40th birthday, I did like a little drive through Italy and I was chatting to him online and not many people knew who he was, but he's got a real cult fan base. And he actually came and met me in Rome and we had a drink.
Wow.
He's a really, really nice guy, but he makes some proper sick fucking movies.
How did you find out about him? Was that like a random video find back in the day?
So for when I used to play at the Roadhouse, everyone that worked in there was pretty much Italian. Like the DJ was Italian, the drummer was Italian, half the bar staff were Italian. So the drummer in my band and the DJ, Marco, his name was mad horror fans. We were going to try and put on a play, do like a whole grand guignol type play. We were going to try and write it. And we had this idea. We wanted to put this thing on and get funding for it. And it, you know, it's never going to happen. But, you know, we thought, fuck it, you know, we'll sit round and try and write. Anyway, so Marco knew of this Demisiano Cristofaro guy and was like, I'm Italian. I can reach out to him and chat to him. And, you know, because he's a master of effects and all this kind of stuff, you know, extreme gore. And that just basically, that's how I got to know him through Marco. He's a really lovely, really, really lovely guy. As most people in horror are. Most people that you meet on the horror scene, from anyone that's not into the horror community or the vibe or anything, think, oh, well, look at them nutcases. But no, everyone is super lovely, man.
Totally. And one of your other passions and projects you do is podcasting yourself. You've done your own Dean of the Dead horror podcast, and you also co-host the Baron's Hideout podcast, which has some great guests from a lot of recent horror films, from Terrifier 2, I think, and the recent The Mean One film. Do you stay on top of more recent horror films? Does it still grab you as much as the old stuff?
Yeah. So I like, you know, Shudder exclusives, Screenbox exclusives. I like them because they're a little bit more left field. A lot of times you find these ones that have got these huge budgets thrown at them from big studios and very rarely hit. I enjoyed Black Phone. I thought that was cool. I thought Smile was pretty cool. You know, another time I'll still go and watch them all and I'm looking forward to Megan. I'm a big James Wan fan. He really splits opinion, I know. But I like James Wan. I think he's cool. I love the Insidious movies. movies. But then, yeah, so like Screen Box. I don't know if you've come across Screen Box.
I'm not familiar with Screen Box. Shudder, you mentioned. I watch pretty much everything on there.
Yeah, I love Shudder. Shudder's really good. Screen Box is basically, well, it's only in America at the minute. That's why a lot of people in the UK haven't really heard about it. But we talk about it a lot and we're quite friendly with the guys there now because Dustin's obviously based over in America. So he champions it all the time. But we don't get it over here in the UK yet. But they always send me the screeners through. So I get to see a lot of what they're putting on there. Some of it's a bit wacky. There's one we watched recently called All Jacked Up and Full of Worms.
I'm going to YouTube straight after for the trailer.
You come across some real gems, man.
How did that collaboration with the Baron's Hideout come about? That's done with, Dustin Wurtenberger from Massachusetts. Where did the two of you meet and hit it off?
Oh, I love Dustin, man. He's a great guy. So he actually, he was originally doing the podcast with a friend of his, a guy called Aaron. The podcast was quite new. Dustin's just a crazy horror fan. Like, he loves his horror. And they reached out to me just to talk about the Dean of the Dead hot sauce stuff. So I was like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, you want to talk? Yeah, cool. You want to talk to me? And because they were from the States, I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, I'm Dean, I'm doing a podcast with someone in America. So the name's getting out there. Then they asked me to come back on a few months later to, because I love Nightmare on Elm Street. So will you come back on and chat about the Nightmare on Elm Street films? Yeah, of course, man. So we did that. We just sort of cemented the friendship a little bit more. And then I started doing a Dean of the Dead podcast. Actually, I had some decent guests on. I had, the first guest I ever had on was Tim Bartel, who played David Blanchard in Society.
Love Society, man. That film holds up. Well, I don't know if it holds up, but it's an amazing 90s snapshot.
Yeah.
Was it like around like 1990? Or was it even before? Maybe like very, very late 80s?
I think it was like 89 or something like that.
It's a great snapshot of that time.
Amazing film, man. Bonkers. So we had the guy that played David Blanchard, the first one to ever get shunted, you know, the shunting scene. So we got to kind of pick his brains about how they did all of that. You know, that was really cool and, you know, a really lovely guy. And then we had Bob Elmore, who played Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw 2. Then we had Russ Striner, who played Johnny from the original Night of the Living Dead. It's about 2 hours long, but it is literally George Romero's autobiography as spoken by Russ Striner, man. Me and Marco, the Italian guy I was talking about earlier on, who did that with me, that interview, and we were both just like, holy shit, man, I can't believe what we're hearing. So basically, that was it. I only ever put out 3 episodes in a year. That's why.
Consistency, Dean. Consistency.
I know, man. I never had the time to edit it. But I had a load more interviews in the bag. We interviewed Nicholas Vince, who plays a Chatterer, Simon Bamford, who plays Butterball, Cenobite, Bride in Black from Insidious, Tom Fitzpatrick, who's crazy, absolutely batshit mental. He was lovely guy, batshit mental. But basically, I just couldn't get it together to do all the editing and stuff. So Dustin's co-host, Aaron, he's a chef and he was working all kinds of crazy hours, couldn't commit to the podcast. So Dustin reached out to me and said, do you fancy coming on as the co-host? You know, we'd never met each other. We'd just been online chatting like this, you know. And I was like, well, look, I'd love to do it because I really want to do a podcast. I just don't have time to do a lot of the legwork that goes on behind the scenes and the editing and stuff. And he's like, dude, all you need to do is watch the movies and show up and chat horror. And I was like, done. Yeah, done. So yeah, so that's kind of how that came around. So we started doing it. And then I flew over to New York in April last year. Dustin's from Boston. We went to Penn Station, took a train out to Boston, and then I met him, went to meet him.
Oh, man.
We went and hung out in Salem. We spent a couple of days in Salem. He was showing us all around because Salem's like a 20-minute journey from where he lives, basically just showing us all around, you know, all the Witch Museum and everything. Met Aaron as well, who was the co-host, met all their partners. So yeah, man, it was great. Really kind of bonded after that, after we'd actually sort of met each other. He's the only other person I could really chat horror to. You can't out horror, if you know what I mean.
Did you agree on the Nightmare on Elm Street films about which one you thought was the best, though, when you first did that podcast?
Yeah, no, he loved it. Well, we were talking about the first one in particular.
Right.
We talked about the first one in particular. Yeah, just that movie. We chatted about the others, but he knew that was one of my favourite films of all time. So he was like, do you want to come on and chat about that? But yeah, we've got a pretty similar taste. We've got a pretty similar taste in stuff. But yeah, he really deep dives into a lot of stuff. He's a great guy, man.
I'm sure you'll agree. That's one of the coolest things about the horror community is meeting people from all over the world.
Yeah.
And when I see like all this creativity that's out there, it fuels my creativity as well. I don't get jealous. I'm like, holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, man.
And love seeing everyone getting success. It's just a great community to vibe off.
Definitely, man. And I think everyone is in it to help each other out as well. You know, like we're always throwing each other bones and, you know, oh, how'd you get in touch with so-and-so? And that's exactly the same. You know, if we see other people doing really well, they raise the bar and you just think, yeah, man, you know, props to them. It pushes you to do better yourself. And I respect that. So green-eyed monster doesn't come into it, that's
what does the next 12 months look like for Dean of the Dead? You ended last year so busy with conventions, and I've seen you've got a new release coming soon. Is it Grave New World Source? And you have the Ales from the Crypt line of beers too. Anything else you can let us in on, or is it just convention world?
Yeah, so events-wise, I'm still basically doing all my Comic-Cons, Horror-Cons, the Chili Festivals. I think we do like the BBC Good Food Show at the back end of the year. But I've just got into doing tattoo conventions. So my first two events are in February, and one's at the Telford International Centre doing a convention there. It's called the Tattoo Freeze. And then we've got one at the end of the month in Brighton, the Brighton Tattoo Con. So that's going to be cool.
That's the cool thing about this, your whole Dean of the Dead thing. It's not just food convention. It's just opened up this whole world.
Yeah.
From comic cons, horror convention, and now you say like tattoo convention. You could do biking conventions, motorcycles, or anything like that. It all fits.
And you always find that, you know, it's one of these sort of places people like hot sauce or beer. Or they just really like the artwork as well, which is quite cool. I'm a massive fan of Scream Parks. Like, you got the Thorpe Park Fright Nights, Alton Towers Scarefest.
People need to check out a YouTube channel for that, because you nail all of them, I think.
Yeah. I'm such a whore for a man. I love them. I go to as many as I can. And we did this year, did the Halloween Horror Nights in America. We did like the Howlow Scream, Busch Gardens and SeaWorld, just to kind of see how the Americans do it. Turns out fucking great. But there's some really good ones in the UK, man. There's some really, really good. And again, all up north, you know, some really good ones up north. Farmageddon's great in Liverpool. There's one Fear at Avon Valley over in Bristol. There's tons. There's so many. So I'll try to cover them on my Dean of the Dead TV YouTube channel. And then I did a couple of Hot Sauce collaborations for the merch stands. For I did one for Dr. Frights, one for Scream Factory, and one for Fear Factory Live. So I'm trying to get into that next year. So I'm trying to get a hot sauce in each of the different. So I'm trying to kind of tap into that market with the tattoo conventions. I want to try and get them into the tattoo stores as well. So man, it's just endless, man. It's just so many different things.
It's just finding the time to do it, isn't it?
That's it. I really want to turn it full time, because I still work at the minute, you know. So I'm hoping by the middle of next year I can go full time with it. But those bills never stop coming, man.
I'm stoked that it's going so well, though. Like I say, the first time I saw you at Liverpool, I was like, holy shit, this guy means business. I knew that straight away.
Nice one, man. We've got some other stuff going on. This is going to sound crazy. We're doing a film. So I'm a massive supporter of like independent horror. I love independent horror. You know, anyone that just picks up a camera and makes it a horror film, I love that stuff. And we go to a horror film festival every year in Southend called Horror on Sea. It's really good. The guy that runs it is a guy called Paul. And he's, again, as you know, in the horror scene, he's a lovely guy. Really, really lovely guy. You can tell it's his passion, and they put it on. They hire out the hotel. I think it's called the Park Inn Hotel, overlooks the seafront. It's on the second Friday, Saturday, Sunday of Jan, and then the following week they do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's just all independent horror filmmakers just coming together, watching each other's movies, having a drink, and just chatting horror, man. I love it. I'm a big fan of that kind of scene. So anyway, there's some people that I've met. We're putting together, it's going to be like an anthology, like a Dean of the Dead independent horror anthology. It's going to sound crazy, but it's coming together really well. And basically, it's going to be a bit like Body Bags, a bit like Creep Show, Tales from the Crypt, that kind of vibe, but obviously on an indie budget. And it's all going to be horror shorts. So like independent directors doing independent horror shorts. So far, I've got four for the movie, and we're filming all the wraparound scenes. We've hired out an escape room in Nottingham. So a friend of mine works at that place, and they've convinced their boss to let us have that room for the day. So we're going to go down and basically film all the wraparound scenes in that room. It looks like something straight out of a Saw movie. So everything's done on an independent budget. I'm looking for one more horror short, which I need a Halloween themed one. So it's going to be like a seasonal themed horror anthology. But it starts off with a Christmas one, then we've got a Valentine's short, then we've got an Easter short. I'm looking for a Halloween short, and then it ends on another Christmas short. All the shorts are made, they're all there ready to go, and they're all fucking sick, man. They're so good. I just need a Halloween short to kind of slot in.
Which you'd think would be the easiest one.
Yeah, I know. There's loads out there. There's a few that I went for that I kind of contacted the director and said, hey, look, we're working on this project. 90% of the people that are working on it with me, I know from on the scene. And anyone that you kind of reach out to that doesn't know you, they're just like, who are you? And why do you want my feed? You know, they're a little bit more wary, which is fair enough. I get that. But yeah, so I think once it all comes together, there's no real release date for it yet. It's completely on an independent budget. It's a complete labour of love project.
Love it, man.
Not looking to make any money out of it or anything, but just if anything, just to showcase their work. Do you know what I mean? The directors, where I can, because I'm always out doing events. I'll print off DVDs and fucking give them away. Whatever, just anything that kind of showcases their work. So that's just the idea behind it. And if that becomes, you know, not successful, but if that becomes, if people dig it, basically, then we'll do another one.
Well, it's all expanding your brand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your reach, your net. It's all casting it out even further.
Yeah, man. And it's so funny because, you know, like when I go way back to, you know, being a musician and really trying to crack that industry, I've come close to my dreams and my goals through Hot Sauce than I ever have with a guitar, which is crazy. Oh man, I don't know. It makes me happy and it's, you know, whatever. It seems to be working.
Well, don't slow down. Don't slow down. Keep going.
Yeah, man, that's it. We've got a couple of other things just real quick. I don't know if we're running out of time.
No, you're fine, man.
Beers-wise, we're going to try and keep going on a range of beers. We met Andrew Divoff, who played the Wishmaster at the Sheffield Horrorcon, and he's got his own brewery in the States, so he was interested in doing one. But that's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. I might try and pick that, because that'd be really cool to do a collaboration with the Wishmaster.
See, that was your random film pick you should have gone for.
Yeah, true. Actually, yeah, that's true. I'm doing a Chug Challenge box set. You know, you see these challenges online. People do the sort of Chug Challenge or the One Chip Challenge. I've got a challenge that I'm working on at the minute, which is based on the Seven Deadly Sins. So it's going to be called the Seven Dean of the Deadly Sins. And it's going to have seven little potion bottles in. And then each one's just going to get progressively hotter and hotter and hotter. You have a card, you have to read off the back of the card. And it's going to be like a proper box set challenge thing. So that's going to be quite cool. Collaborations. I'm doing a Hot Sauce for the Terrifier movie.
Nice.
And I'm doing one for a movie called Pool Party Massacre.
I have heard of that one, yeah. Probably just through Facebook and stuff like that. He's got some really cool looking artwork.
Yeah, man, that's it, with a skull holding the cocktail. And so, yeah, they're the collaborations we've got lined up. Got a co-packer out in the States. I'm trying to get it over to the States now. A place called the Mystic Museum.
Yes, they've got the Slashback video thing going off there, haven't they?
That's it, man. That looks incredible, that place. So they want to get the sources in there. We've been chatting back and forth, so that's going to happen at some point this year. So, yeah, man, there's a lot going on.
I'll let you go, because I know you've got another podcast later on. I'll let you recharge the batteries.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me on, dude.
Thanks so much to Dean Sharp of Dean of the Dead for hanging out with me here on the Straight to Video podcast. Don't forget to snatch up that 10% discount off any order through his website, deanofthedead.com, by simply adding the code S2V10. So that's S2V10 on checkout. Dean is constantly busy, so I expect to see him at a Comic-Con, food event, or horror convention near you soon. And when not doing that, you can find him on the Baron's Hideout podcast and on his YouTube channel, Dean of the Dead TV. All worth checking out. That is all for this episode of the show. I hope you've enjoyed it, and look out for new episodes dropping every Friday, and there's some fun ones already in the bag. There'll also be some new bonus movie podcasts landing on the STV Patreon soon, which you can learn more about over at patreon.com/STVpod. We have some new updates coming soon at our actual 80s video shop in Alfreton, Derbyshire, which you can learn about at www.80svideoshop.co.uk, or for anything else straight to video related, visit STVpod.com. I think that's pretty much everything, and want to say thank you for continually coming back and listening. So let's do it all again real soon.